Welcome to the Vintage Church Podcast. Vintage Church is a movement of truth, love, and community. For more information, visit VintageChurchNola.com. Here is this week's message.
Happy New Year's, everyone. New Year's Eve. Is anybody excited that we made it to the end of another year? Yes? Can we give God a hand clap of praise? There are some people that are not here today that were here in the beginning of the year. It's like we started from the bottom. Now we're here, right? Y'all got that? More like we started at the top and now we're here. But anyway, we're so excited to be here. My name is John McCann. I serve as the preacher and pastor here. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. This has been a year for the books. You know, some of us this year started off single and now we're married. Let's give it up for the newlyweds in the building, the Weavers, and everybody else. Y'all got married this year too, huh? Oh, man, we got a lot of new married couples, engaged couples. Some of us this year started off single, and we're still single. Let's give it up for all the single people who are still single in the building. I see you. I'm representing you. At my home church, we had these shirts that said, single, saved, and satisfied. I think Nave might drop a shirt like that for y'all. That's my clothing brand. But no, this has been a good year, and we're excited to close out this year. And as we close out this year, as this year comes to an end, and as we go into next year, I think there are some very important principles and truths that we can find in God's word on how we should close out today and how we should go into tomorrow and to forevermore in our future. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. If you don't have your Bible, raise your hand. Our wonderful Connect team's coming down. They love to give a Bible to you. This is our gift from our church to you. We believe there's nothing better that you can do than to take God's word home, read it, and let it transform your lives. Let's give it up for all our volunteers for just serving. They've been here all year long, production, the band. Thank you guys so much. So let's begin reading. It says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And the word of the Lord is blessed. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, we just thank you so much for allowing us to make it to the last day of 2017. For some of us, God, this has been a struggling year full of all different types of tests and trials and tribulations, God. And we've seen some good things, but some of us, we've also experienced, a lot of us, pretty much all of us have probably experienced some bad things as well, God. As we go into next year, I pray that your word will come alive, that I would decrease, and that you will increase, and that you will be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So growing up, I always wanted to be a part of the best of everything. You know, I wanted to be a part of the best football team. I wanted to live in the best city. I wanted to go to the best schools. I wanted to have the best friends. I always wanted to be a part of the best. Now, I started off this journey on a good note by being raised in the best city in America. Y'all know who that is, huh? Kenner. Kenner, bro, yes. I started off my journey well. Is any Kenner people in the building? All right, yes, this is my people. They don't have a lot at the 9 a.m. I'm going to start just coming to this one. But anyway, I started off my journey of being a part of the best of everything by growing up in Kennebrook. So I'm like, this is great. I'm out of Kenner. Just, you know, we have our own mall to ourselves because nobody shops there. But anyway, I love Kenner. It's a great place. It's very dear to my heart. So I start off my journey well in Kenner. So then it's like, well, I've already started in the best city. Now I need to go to the best high school. And there's only one best high school in the state of Louisiana. We all know what that is, right? Jesuit. Yes. Any Blue Jays in the building? Yes, Melvin. Yes. We had one at the earlier service, too. So anyway, yes. So I start off. My journey is going really well. I'm from the best city, Kenner. I'm going to the best high school, Jesuit. So it only makes sense that the next best thing is to go to the best college in the South. And we all know which college that is, right? Any Bama fans in the building? They have some? Oh, no, that's not the school. any Tiger fans in the building? Okay, that's not the school either. I was obsessed, and reflecting back on it now, I don't know why, but I was obsessed at going to University of Georgia. Any Georgia fans in the building? Matthew Weaver. He's by himself. But anyway, I was obsessed with going to that school. And we ran into a little problem because in order to go to University of Georgia, you have to have a high GPA in school. You have to do really well in school. And my junior year at Jesuit, I had to take a class. Now, this class, it should really be illegal. I don't know why they make kids take this class. I had to take chemistry. Out of all things, I had to take a chemistry class. And it didn't work out well with me in this chemistry class. We had no chemistry together. And as we progressed, and I had my progress report, I had an F on my progress report my junior year in chemistry class. So I'm like, this is not good. This is going to mess up my GPA. Not only is this going to stop me from going to the best college in the South, but this is also going to prevent me from going to the next level in school. So I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So going into the final exam, I had a D. I pulled the F up to a D. But that wouldn't be good enough for my GPA in order to get me into University of Georgia. That would have had a major impact on my GPA. So you'll never believe this. My teacher, he tells the class before the final, all right, class, if you make an A on the final exam, you will get an A for the class no matter what grade you had going into the exam. So to me, I was like, yes, this is awesome. But then I was like, no, I don't know chemistry enough. I don't know the difference between an ion or an atom. This is going to be a miracle from the Lord if I have to pass this test. So anyway, now the problem with this final test is this test was a Scantron test, which means that the teacher can't help me out. You know, I was hoping the teacher could hook a brother up and just kind of, you know, give a little curve. But with the Scantron test, you put the Scantron in the machine, it shoots out your grade. And that's it. There's nothing else that could happen. So at Jesuit, we had a 10-point grading scale. So I studied and I prepared for the test. And then it was like, when I was taking the test, there were like 5 answers that I did not know the answer to. So I was like, Jesus, please, is it A, B, C, D, or E? And I just put in one, and I'll put in one for like 5 of them. And then, lo and behold, I got the grade back. Guess what grade I got? A 90A. So I was like, yes, I passed the class. Yeah, we could thank God for that. I passed the class. This is great. I got an A. So now, fast forward a little bit. I hate to let you know this, but one of the few schools that rejected me for college, which is why I'm no longer a fan, Matthew Weaver, is University of Georgia. They rejected me. Can you believe that? Yeah, it hurt my heart. But I was excited that I still got to pass to the next level. I was excited that I got to go to a new grade. I was excited that I would get to learn new things, that I would get to have new assignments, that I would get to expand my horizons, that I would get to evolve, that I would get to grow. I was excited about the next level. And as we think about closing this year, as we think about going into next year, I think it's important for us as a church to lean into the truths that can be found in this scripture and in this passage, which is my title. It comes from this, is going to the next level. I think we should go to the next level. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm going to the next level. So I'm going to the next level. You could hop in the car or you could stay where you are. I'm going to the next level. So it brings me to this question. As we think about January 1st, January 1st signifies the beginning of something new. It signifies another full, the sun has revolved around, the earth has revolved around the sun. All these things are happening. And it's a new opportunity to start fresh. And there's some life lessons and principles we can find from Paul in this passage. Let's look at verse 12. It says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. The first step that we have to remember as it relates to going to the next level. Just a quick question first. Who wants to go to the next level? Raise your hand. Who wants to go to the next level? All right, cool. Just making sure I'm preaching to the right people. But the first step that we need to do is to continue to grow in Jesus. From this passage, we see that Paul is saying, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Paul is letting the people know that he has not reached perfection. During this time, a lot of the Jewish teachers, they were taught that if you got circumcised, if you followed all the laws very closely, then perhaps you can reach this spiritual perfection. But Paul is letting them know something that we have to know as well, and that we are always in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. No matter who you are, no matter if you were giving your life to Jesus last week, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 80 years ago, Robert. just kidding. That's our oldest pastor on staff. no matter how long it's been, there's always room for growth. There's always room for you to continue to grow in Christ. So the thing about this is the people, they thought that Paul had reached his perfection, and the people during this time that followed after the teachings of Jesus, they wanted to get to this promised place of perfection that Jesus talks about, but they did not want to go through the process. They did not want to go through the process. But what we have to realize is that no one alive has arrived. If you are still living, if you are not dead, that means God still has more for you to do. If you're sitting here, God still has more for you to do. No matter how rough this past year might have been, no matter what ups or downs you may have had, God still has more for you to do. The people at this time, they didn't want to go through the process to reach the promise, but Paul, if you study the life of Paul, he continually goes through this process of sanctification. He goes through this process. And in our lives, we also must be processed. We must be processed. Some of us, we've had different things happen in our life. But let me tell you something about the process. In order to, when you go through the process, sometimes pain is involved with the process. Sometimes pain is involved with the process, but we must go through the process to reach the promise. And sometimes it gets uncomfortable. When Paul's writing this letter, he's in prison. I doubt it was comfortable in prison. Although their prisons weren't like our prison, so it might have been a little bit more comfortable. But it wasn't like an OPP. But anyway, anybody been to the OPP, by the way? I've been there once. Oh, we got somebody else in the back. It was for a speeding ticket. That's it. But anyway, Paul is going through a process. And just like Paul, we all have to go through a process. And sometimes the process of life can be painful. Sometimes it can be painful not knowing what's going to happen next. It can be painful losing our jobs. It can be painful having problems with our family. It can be painful as we're pursuing the things that God has called us to pursue. And we run into these pitfalls, and we run into these setbacks, and we run into all these challenges and this fear, and we run into all these things. Sometimes the process can be painful. But we must remember, no matter where you're at, you're going through the process because God has a promise that he's trying to get us all to. He's trying to get us to glorification. He's trying to get us to a place where we can continue to allow him to get the glory out of our lives. Now, one thing that's important in life in general as it relates to pain, this makes me think of this, is that I like to stay in good physical shape. Does anybody like to work out, stay in good physical shape? Raise your hand. A few people. Is anybody going to like to stay in good shape for next year? Raise your hand. All right, there we go. All right. So when it relates to staying in good shape, there's a couple things you can do to stay in good shape. One thing you can do is go walking. Does anybody like to go walking? Walking in a park? All right, cool. Another thing that you can do is to go swimming. Does anybody like to go swimming? Okay, I don't like to go swimming. I almost drowned out in Layton's boat this past year. That's another story for later. So swimming is something else that we can do. You can play sports to stay in good shape. You can play basketball. So that's something that I used to do, but I have not been able to find anybody at Vintage that can beat me. So it's a challenge. No, I'm just kidding. No, Jason's like, what? I beat you yesterday. no, I'm just kidding. Basketball is not my thing either because I keep getting beat by everybody here. But my sport of choice to stay in good shape is weights. I like going to the gym. I like going to Elmwood Fitness Center. That's where I go. And the thing about working out of weights, you go in, you know, you're looking around, you know, you're kind of looking at the people that you're going to kind of stay away from because they look mean, and you're kind of scoping everything out. And then you go to the bench press and you put on the weight and you start, you know, one, two, three. And usually if you have enough weight on the bench, on the weight, that it when you get to like rep 9 or 10, like it gets really, really hard. And then like you have people that are in the gym like screaming like, ah! And it's like, what are you doing? But you have people and you're pushing, and those last couple of reps are really, really hard. You often feel a lot of pain on those last couple of reps. And if you really did hard work, the next day, you're going to feel a lot of pain as well. If you don't feel no pain, you probably wasn't doing much or nothing. You should feel some type of pain. And as we relate, if we think about the process that Paul was in, as we think about the process that we're going in, that we go through in life, there is no gain without pain. No pain, no gain. So as you think about some of those situations you might have went through, and it might have been painful, recognize that potentially God was trying to grow you through that situation. Now, when I work out, and I'm lifting the weights, and it's painful, you know, getting those last couple reps, and then the next days are painful. Although it's painful, I shouldn't stop just because of the pain. Because the pain in the process is not meant to stop me, it's meant to strengthen me. And for some of us, as we go through life, as we go through the things that God has called us to do in our family life, in our friends' life, in our career, in our neighborhood, just wherever God might be calling us to do things for his glory, the pain is not meant to stop you. No pain, no gain. But part of the process sometimes requires pain to strengthen you. Now, the thing about this letter is Paul is writing this letter while he was in prison. Out of all places, the devil was probably like, yes, I got him in prison. For some of us, we might reflect back over this past year, and it might have been some moments where we felt like we were in prison. Might have been some moments where we felt like the odds were against us. But I love this reflecting over scripture, because although the devil might have meant it for evil, God uses it for good. Paul writes these letters, and we still teach and preach off of these letters. So I just want to encourage you. One of my favorite scriptures is Romans 8 and 28 that tells us that we know that all things work for good for those that love God and those who are called according to his purpose. So everything that you might have experienced this past year, ups or downs, we have a promise that God works those things together for good, for his glory, for his honor. So as we think about going to the next level and continuing to grow in Jesus, one thing that we must know is that you cannot go to the next level without Jesus. You can't. You might be, you know, Google, how do I make my life better, all these other type of things. Let me tell you one thing. You can do that if you want, but it won't last forever. If you want to go to the next level and you want to keep an eternal perspective, you cannot do it without Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, we're glad that you're here worshiping with us. We just believe that God, he created everything good. There was peace. There was shalom. But our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned. And evil entered the world. But God did not leave us there. He sent his son, Jesus, who died, who conquered sin, death, and hell. And if we repent and we confess and we believe, we shall be saved. And that's the gospel. And if you're here today and you're giving church a try, open up your heart and let Jesus in. Because without him, there is no next level that will last. So as we think about this, he says, not that I've already obtained this or already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He says, I press on. This press on in the Greek translation is not, it kind of has a force to it. It's not like, oh, he hasn't been perfect. Oh, we haven't made it to where we want to go, so I just press forward. No, it's like I press forward. There's some force there. So as we think about going to the next level, one thing that we need to do is make a move forward. When I move, you move just like that. Don't move like me. Move like Jesus. I can't dance that well anyway. Anyway, make a move forward. What the devil wants to do and what he often tries to do is he tries to paralyze us in the midst of our process. He could have tried to paralyze Paul. Paul, you haven't made it to perfection yet, so just stop and just give up. You haven't been able to forgive people like you're supposed to. You haven't been able to love your enemy. You haven't been able to share the gospel every single time an opportunity was available. You haven't been able to reach some spiritual eliteness, so just give up. That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants to make us stop moving forward. We must keep moving forward. And the reason why we can keep moving forward is because, like it says right here, because Christ Jesus has made us his own. Jesus came to us first. And because of that, because of him, we can press forward. I could imagine Paul as he was in prison. He had to have a warrior's attitude, all the stuff that he went through. And I could picture him saying, because of Jesus, because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, because Jesus lives in me, I can keep going, I will keep going, and I must keep going. And that's the attitude that we need to have. I can, I will, and I must, because Jesus first did for me. And by his strength, I can keep moving. As it relates to making a move, as it relates to him communicating this to the church of Philippi, it's important for us to realize sometimes we don't feel like making a move. Sometimes we don't feel like loving our neighbor who parks in our driveway or parks in front of our house or who kids or who dog dumps on our yard, you know, whatever the case might be. It gets hard. It gets hard. But just because it gets hard and we don't feel like doing it, we can't always do what we feel like doing. Sometimes we need to live, all the time, we need to live our life based off of our values, not how we feel in the moment. Based off of our values. Because in the moment, when God called you to do something, you might be scared. You might not want to do it. You might be afraid. It might cause you to put your pride to the side. But if you're making your decision based off of your Christian biblical values, let that be the thing that runs your life. So we look at this passage, and like I said, it says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own, Paul is remembering where God has brought him from. He's particularly talking about his encounter on the road of Damascus, where Jesus came and radically changed his life. He's reflecting back over his story. And we all have a story. Everyone in this room, you have a story. And if you are in Christ, you have a story of how Jesus came and how he saved you and how he set you free. And as we think about going to the next level, and even as Paul is writing this letter, one thing that we have to do is we can go to the next level because we can remember how Christ found us and how he redefined us. So let's look at verse 13 and see what else Paul has to say. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. The next thing, so first thing we must do, y'all want to, what was the first thing we must do to go to the next level? We're going to have some crowd participation. Continue to grow in Jesus. Awesome. Next thing we must do from this verse, we must proceed from the past through Jesus. We must proceed from the past through Jesus. So the first point here I want you to take as we go to the next level is you have to be able to forget the past. Now in this text, if you look at the context of this passage, Paul is most likely, and theologians agree, that he's most likely saying forgetting the past in regards to his accomplishments that he has completed for Christ. So it's not so much forgetting the past, like forgetting the bad things. A lot of people are like, oh yeah, forget the past, forget the negative things. But the truth of the matter is sometimes it's not the bad things in the past that hold us back. It's the good things. It's, oh, what I did for Jesus yesterday. It's, oh, I prayed yesterday. Or, oh, I loved someone yesterday. And what happens is sometimes if we're not careful, we could get so caught up on reflecting on these past glory days that we forget that we are still alive and God still has more work for us to do that's ahead of us. We cannot dwell on the past. And this forget right here is not like forget like it never happened. It's saying don't dwell on it. I used to run track in school, and I ran the 100-meter dash. I wasn't the greatest at it, but I was kind of fast. But when you're running and you pass somebody up, especially if it's the 100-meter dash, you want to mess yourself up, turn around and look at them. Like, ha-ha, pass you up. One, you might fall. Two, that's going to slow your pace down so the person in front of you that you're supposed to pass next, you can't pass them. Because you slowed yourself down and you're focusing in on that past accomplishments. Oh, I just passed somebody. Meanwhile, you're slowing down and you're not going to pass the person in front of you. As believers, we cannot be so obsessed on our past obedience, on our past, I did this, I did that. No, we are going into a new year where God is going to give new assignments. He's going to put new things on your heart. He's going to give you new visions. He's going to give you new dreams. He's going to challenge you in new ways. But you have to be able to forget the past. So as we look at that, and he's saying that he's straining forward ahead, and if you're studying, you want to go back and study, most likely he's referring to what he's straining towards is found in verse 10, where it says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So forget the past. The next thing that Paul probably had a lot of, which we need also if we're going to accomplish and go to the next level in Christ, is discipline. Stay disciplined. Discipline is oftentimes the bridge between our desire and our destiny. Discipline is oftentimes the bridge between the desires that God places on our heart for his kingdom and his glory, between that desire and the destination of actually being there. But can we be disciplined? The next thing that I guarantee you Paul had, because he says this one thing, which suggests a level of focus. We must stay focused. So right now I'm in this Ideal Village program. For those of you who are familiar with the different business operations in a city, it is a program that helps startup companies and entrepreneurs take their businesses to the next level. So I have a brand called Nave. There goes a Nave hat right there. Thank you for supporting the movement. If you want some gear, come holler at me after. I'll give you a church discount. Shameless plug. Anyway, no, just kidding. But anyway, not kidding. No, I'm just kidding. It is a socially responsible brand. And anyway, I say all that to say that over hundreds of companies applied. They kept 14 companies for a six-month accelerator program that I'm in. And we went to boot camp, and I heard a lot of stuff. But one thing that I heard at boot camp that really stood out with me, that I want to share with you, is like we grow up, we hear that time is a limited resource. We hear that money is a limited resource. But what we don't hear a lot, but it's also true, focus is a limited resource. Paul says this one thing. We have to be focused on the thing that God has called us to do for his kingdom and his glory. As we think about this, people like to say, oh, well, Paul's saying he has to do this, he has to do that. Paul's not saying he has to do these things to earn salvation. All this stuff we're talking about going to the next level, you can't do this to earn your salvation. He's not doing this for his salvation. He's not working for his salvation. He's working out his salvation. We can't work for our salvation, but after we receive the grace and the beauty of being made righteous through Christ Jesus, we have a responsibility as believers to work that out and to become more and more like Jesus every single day until the day of glorification. So as we look at our last verse, it says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we must continue to grow in Christ. We must proceed from the past through Jesus. And the third thing that we must do to go to the next level is focus on being with Jesus. Focus on being with Jesus. Moral progress is not the intent of Paul in this letter. He's not just saying, oh, I want to do this so that I can be a better person for me, so everybody can look at me, so I can have all these accomplishments. No! His passion and his motivation for everything that he is doing is to bring God's name's glory and to be able to stand before Jesus one day and be made one with God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In order for us to go to the next level, We need to focus on being with Jesus. That needs to be our inspiration. When we go to the gym, we need to be looking for people we can share the gospel with. When you're at your job, you need to be looking for people that you can share the good news with. When you're trying to get the promotion, there's nothing wrong with the promotion, but don't be trying to get the promotion just for yourself. Get the promotion so that you can point other people to Jesus. Don't go after the dream to become whatever you want to be and do whatever you want to do and have the house and the family and the kids just for your sake. Paul has a holy ambition and a holy intention behind this letter. He is kingdom focused. So as it relates to going to the next level, focus on being with Jesus and be kingdom focused, not you focused. Let your life be centered around Christ. Have selfless goals, not selfish goals. The goal of every Christian should be to know Jesus more and more and to make him known to others. Selfless, not selfish. And the last thing is we must take ownership of the mission. Being with Jesus, he was on a mission. Paul was on a mission. Like I said, when I ran track, track was so much fun. I didn't do really well in the 100-meter dash, but I did well in the relay race because the fast people made up for my slow pace. But in the relay race, there's a baton that the first runner starts with. He starts with the baton. He takes off running. He hands it to the next person. They grab the baton. They take it. They run. They run. They run. They hand it to the next person. They grab it. And they keep going. They keep going. Do you all know that everybody in this room that has professed Christ, we are in a relay race. And the baton of faith has been passed on from generation to generation to generation for thousands of years. And now is our time to take the baton and run. Going into next year, yes, you need to go to the next level. But more important than anything, you need to have a focus on the biggest and the most important mission that there is known to us. The mission of Jesus Christ. Take the baton and run forward. God has given us grace as we go into this next year. And we cannot waste that grace. We cannot waste that grace. Life is truly a blessing. We can't take it for granted. People are dying daily. And guess what? It doesn't matter how old you are. People are dying young. People are dying old. And the fact that God has allowed us to see another year means that he has more work for us to do. But will we take ownership of the mission? I'm going to ask for the band to come up, and I'm going to give us a couple of closing next steps as it relates to going to the next level. The first step is we must make a decision. We must decide. We must make a decision. Everything in life comes down to a decision. You made a decision on what shoes you were going to wear today. You made a decision whether or not you were going to come to church. You made a decision not to be a Bama fan. You know, everything comes down to a decision. Everything comes down to a decision. And they say, researchers say, that in an average day, we make 35,000 remotely conscious decisions. So we have to decide that we are going to go to the next level in Christ. And I know that it's hard to make that the decision because a lot of times we have all these thoughts in our head that are saying, oh, you can't, oh, what about this, oh, what about that? But we must be reminded that our mind that we have is also is the mind of Christ Jesus, as we see in Philippians 2 and 5. We have to decide to get back up again. Some of us, we've had some hard falls. Get back up again. We have to decide to keep pushing, to keep growing, to keep giving, not to be complacent where you are. We have to decide that there are some habits that we've had last year that we are not going to bring into the new year. And there are some habits that we're going to pick up. We have to decide. And as it relates to the mind, it's hard to make decisions because sometimes we don't feel like doing it. But the divine order of God is spirit over mind and mind over body. Next time you don't want to do something, ask yourself, is my body telling me not to do this? Because if the spirit is telling me to do this, my spirit has authority over my mind, and my mind has authority over my body, because my strength comes in Christ. The next thing we must do is we must plan. We must plan. Put together a plan. Write the vision and make it plain. Plan. How are you going to grow? How are you going to give? Pastor Dustin just shared, as a church, we have a plan in place to read through the Bible next year. F260, make sure you grab a Bible, grab a book in the lobby, or go online at BC NOLA to find out more about that. But let me tell you something about putting together a plan. And some of y'all, most of y'all already know this. Just because you put together the plan doesn't mean it's going to work out like that. For me, I had a plan. I could say personally, I had a plan. When I was 18 years old, I used to be an actor, for those that didn't know. I was in the HBO series, Treme, season one. I played Demetrius Bray. I give you autographs at the back in the end. Come holler at me. I told myself, I'm like, I'm an actor. I got all this stuff going. You know, my plan was, at 21 years old, I was going to be a millionaire. Didn't happen. My next plan, at 25 years old, I'm going to be married. Didn't happen. At 30, this was the big one. At 30, when I was 18, I was like, at 30 years old, I am going to retire. You're right, and it didn't happen. But let me tell you something. We make our plans, but God has his plans. When I was 18 years old, you couldn't tell me that I'll be standing on a stage somewhere proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. But God had a plan for me that was bigger than my plan. He had a plan for me that he had predestined from the foundation of the earth. And he has a plan for you too. So as you make your plans, more importantly than make your plans, listen to Jesus and do what he says. Because his plans for you are bigger and better than any plans you can have for yourself. The third thing we must do is commit. We must commit. We decide, we plan, and we commit. I want to encourage everyone here, one thing that you can commit to that I promise you will radically transform your life for the kingdom and the glory of God is commit to pray every day. That's one thing. That's one tangible thing that I want to encourage you. Commit to pray every day. Commit to surround yourself by like-minded individuals. Commit to be by other believers. Commit to go to V group. Commit. Make a commitment today and stay committed to those commitments. And the last thing is start now. Start now. Don't wait. God has given us the gift of grace. He's given us another opportunity. Don't waste the grace. Start now. From the gospel, we are inspired, we are empowered, and we are enlightened to go to the next level. As I get ready to close, I was at the gas station this past week, and I was looking at the gas station. I was looking at all the different types of fuels that you can place in your car. And I have friends that have different cars, and some of my friends' cars, their car prefers premium fuel. So in other words, you can put the unleaded, you can put the other ones in there, but if you don't put the premium fuel in the car, it will not run the way that it's supposed to be ran. And as we think about our life and we think about what's driving us in life, is it what other people think about us? Is it about our past experiences, about our hurts, about our angers? What's driving us in life? Are we driven by convenience, or are we driven by the love of Jesus Christ? Are we driven by the fact that God came, he sent his son to die for us? Are we driven by purpose? Let Christ be the thing that drives your life forward. Let that be the thing that drives your life into next year. God has so much more in store for everybody in this room. He has more work for you to do. He has more people for you to reach. He has more love for you to experience. He has more territory for you to walk into. He has great things in store for you, for his kingdom, and for his glory. But will you say yes, God? Will anybody say yes, God? Whatever you want to do in my life, say yes. I want to encourage everybody right now to just lift your hands if you're comfortable. This is a sign of surrender. As we go out this year, the greatest thing that you can do to the next level, to go to the next level, is to surrender everything to God. To surrender your life, to surrender your fears, to surrender your discomfort, to surrender everything that you have so that God can get the glory in your life. God, we just pray right now. We thank you for your spirit that's alive in this place. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, God. I pray as we go into this next level that you are shifting some things around, God. You are calling some things into order. This would not be another year like last year. This would be a year of new levels of grace. This would be a year of new levels of love. This would be a year of new levels of your joy. We shall not stay the same, God, but we shall keep moving forward. I thank you, dear Lord God. More importantly than physical hands being risen, God, hearts are risen to you, God. Hearts are surrendered to you, God. And we thank you for what you want to do in our lives. And we say yes. We say yes as individuals. We say yes as a church. We will not sit in this city while people are dying and going to hell around us. We will rise up and we will love our neighbors. We will give to our neighbors. We will give everything that you've given to us, God, so that your name and your glory will be revealed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can somebody give God a hand clap of praise?